It is a Ben Fred Friday on Scoops with Danny Mac. That means we have the chance to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. As always, we're brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group. Great alternative before surgery. It is your body's ability to heal itself. Doctors Bays, Crane, and Wolf are there in Chesterfield to help you out. And again, that is Blue Tail Medical Group. Find out more at bluetailmedicalgroup.com. Hey, Ben, good morning to you. How are things going?
Happy Friday, Dan. I'm playing hooky today. I am celebrating my third wedding anniversary with my wife, and we are hanging out in New Orleans. So I'm off the grid, but I hope that everybody's having as good of a Friday as I am. I'll be honest, it's a pretty good Friday down here.
Well, why are you out there for a Friday? What's special about New Orleans?
Oh, food.
Okay,
just good. Eating as much as humanly possible.
Well, that's good. what's the favorite food down there for you?
Oh man, seafood. Got beignets. You've got
gumbo.
Bananas Foster. Everything. I just look at the menu and say, just bring it on.
I love it.
But hey, I am in tune on what's going back in St. Louis, and it seems like there's a little controversy going on surrounding the Cardinals.
Well, it's going to open up a whole can of worms, I think, with Major League Baseball. It's already been opened up. It's kind of baseball's little dirty secret about how much of a foreign substance is being used for pitching. And I talked to Eno Saris yesterday, and he said, you know what? This is kind of like the steroid era. He compared it to that, of how far this goes. And the studies that he's done, it gives you a 30% increase on different variations of pitches. Now, think about that, 30% potentially on what you're using. So the other day, it's Giovanni Gallegos with a little something on his cap, and who knows what it was. But and Mike Schilt had a great explanation after the game. I thought he nipped this thing in the bud and also opened up a lot of eyes. So I'm just curious about the whole thing. What did you think when that took place?
Well, the first thing I think of is Giovanni Gallegos has had that spot on his cap bill forever. That's not something new. So I'm curious what has changed between, you know, previous times he's been out there and now. We also see that similar pitchers with a similar spot or mark, you know, that's everywhere. So here's what I think it's going to be hard to figure out. Where's the line? What's okay and what's not?
Absolutely.
Because I do think Schilt kind of put himself in a bad spot here, because a couple weeks ago, he was really on the outspoken edge of this. Like, hey, you know, because I asked him, and you and I talked about this just between the two of us a couple weeks ago, of this is an important issue to him. He thinks that, you know, he's looking at some of these spin rates. You look at some of the teams in the Central, a couple pitchers with the Brewers, some Reds guys, their spin rates are absurdly high. And the question is, how is this happening? Well, some of that stickier, more adhesive stuff is helping that really high, unnatural spin rate. Some guys can do it, just peer. So other guys are getting a little help. And I think Schilt's point is pretty inside baseball. And it's like, yeah, the old school stuff that's always been used, you know, guys have been using it. They're going to use it forever. That's different. But he thinks there's kind of this additional steps being taken. But here's the deal. When he puts himself on that edge of like, look, we're not using it. We're not about it. We don't do it. And then you've got a guy out there pitching with a clear mark on his hat. That is something, maybe not the worst of the worst. And it's kind of got him trying to play both sides of this here. I think what's going to have to happen is, if you're going to enforce this day in, it can't be anything. You can't say, well, rosin and sunscreen mixed together on the lid of a ball cap is okay. But God knows what else some of these guys are using is not. Like, if you're going to do it, you got to do it. So it's either going to be let them use stuff or don't. But it can't be some things are okay and some things are not. And it depends on which pitcher it is and whose manager is defending it. That's a slippery slope.
I'm not sure I agree on your assessment of Schilt. I think that he said, look, do I think that, I'm paraphrasing here, that it's being used across baseball and in my own clubhouse? And he basically said, yeah, you know, I mean, we got guys that are maybe doing it. You think that's fair? I think that's fair that he said that. But to
well,
what
he said
but
beforehand
to what,
that they but, weren't into it. But I think what he meant was
to what extent?
Way, the way over the edge.
That's
what
I'm talking about.
Beyond just normal baseball stuff.
Right.
And it's kind of like similar to that conversation we have about stealing signs. Like, if a guy's on second base and he can pick up the sign from the catcher and relay it to the hitter. I think most people think, yeah, that's baseball. But if they're if they're using a camera and doing something that's technology boosted, that's not okay. And I think this is kind of one of those similar conversations. I think most people are okay with it up to a point, but then there's some stuff that maybe is a little more unnatural, and that's where Schilt say, we don't do that.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah. I got to wonder, going forward, you know, I even pointed it out on the game the other day. Alex Reyes came in, and I could see a little shiny area on the bill of his cap. Now we're going to start taking all the caps off? I mean, what triggered, you know, what triggered that particular moment at that time of the game to go after Giovanni Gallegos?
Joe West.
Yeah, but apparently it was another umpire that went to Joe, is my understanding. And Joe's the crew chief, so he's got to address it. Or it has to come from the opposition's dugout where they say, hey, you know, check this, that, and the other. Check his bat. We think this. We think that. So I just wonder, I do wonder how this originated, how it all came about.
Yeah, well, does part of you wonder if because Schilt has been so outspoken about wanting to see a crackdown on it, that maybe that his team became the first to get a cap confiscated? I mean, maybe that's too, maybe I'm being too, you know, too conspiracy theorist there. But it was interesting to me that soon after he really said, look, this is a problem and it's not getting addressed enough. And he was pretty strong on it, that one of his guys is a guy who gets popped, and not, again, for something that I don't think he feels is like beyond. But that's what I mean. It's like, to the casual person, the casual fan, they're saying, why is the manager speaking out against this stuff? And then his player is the one getting his hat taken away.
Yeah.
But I think it really needs an explanation, and baseball needs to decide now. What is okay and what isn't, and where can it be and where can't it? Is it okay if it's on your wrist and it's tucked beneath your glove? Because guys do that, but it's not okay if it's on your cap. Or what substances can be used? I mean, they let guys use pine tar all over their helmets and their bats. Is that fair game for a pitcher? I mean, baseball needs to decide. The ambiguousness of this needs to be cut out because it's very confusing. It's making people look hypocritical, and there's kind of this, it's one of those kind of unwritten things, and it needs to be written. This is okay. This isn't. And if it means that you've got to, you know, put the pitcher's hat and glove in a spot where they can't have access to it before a start or an appearance, I guess maybe you got to do that. I don't know, but something's going to have, if they're really truly going to regulate this, which is a terrible thing to try to regulate because guys are going to find ways around it. Then they're going to have to lay it out. What is okay and what isn't? And what is the process for doing it? Is it the umpire checking the ball after every pitch? It's going to take forever. So I really think that they need to decide which substances are not allowed and then crack down on them, because this middle ground, it's going to be a nightmare. I mean, now, why, if you're Schilt, the next time that a pitcher goes out there for the other team that has a smudge on his bill, are you not asking to get it looked at? I am. I mean, he took my guy's hat away. Take the other guy's hat away.
Here's where I'm going to counter you. See what you think of this. So this was brought up to me, too, and I had not thought of this, but it made a lot of sense. As we both know, the upcoming CBA could be really, really contentious. It already is contentious, and they don't need any other problems. So let's just say that, like to your suggestion, let's enforce it right now. Let's do it right now. Okay, we start doing it, and all of a sudden, it's this guy in that game, this guy in that game. I mean, there's suspensions. There's guys missing checks. There's guys missing money. And all of a sudden, that's another problem going into the CBA, to where maybe Major League Baseball is saying, look, we know we got the issue. Maybe we use this as a way to kind of study what's happening. And then when we get past the CBA is when we start to really enforce some of the things that we have a better understanding about, because there's still a gray area with this. We still don't know how guys are exactly doing it. We got pretty good idea, but we don't have it pinpointed. And I thought that makes a lot of sense. You know, you're trying not to upset the other side as much as they already are on both sides. Right. Maybe just kind of keep this one on the back burner, but realize at some point it will be addressed.
Well, it's not on the back burner now, because now you're taking, I mean, now you've burst the bubble. You know, that should have maybe been handled as, hey, walk over to the dugout and tell Schilt, hey, you can't have a guy out there with that big of a mark on his hat, have him change his hat. But to make the big show out of it, and of course, Schilt's going to come out and argue that, as he should, you know, in that moment to protect his guy. But I just feel like they want to keep this out of the like you and I, guys like you and I have been talking about this for a while, but it hasn't been the discussion of baseball. Well, now it's trending toward that direction. And I don't know how you stop it. I think the best way to do it is you have kind of like almost like substances, like when it comes to nutrition, right? Like guys don't get, knocked for taking protein shakes or creatine. You know, that's in the clear, but clearly there are substances that are off limits. And I think that they're going to have to do that. And maybe it's not as simple as, hey, they can tell what it is on the mound. But if they find something like that in a player's locker, or if they find something like that in a team's clubhouse, that there's going to be consequences for it. And then the risk factor, the scare factor is so big that the guys stay away from maybe the more severe stuff. I don't know what some of these guys are using that Shilt has hinted about, of there being this other stuff on the ball in the game. I read the Athletic story, which was fascinating, about a guy got his first hit, a rookie, and they're on the bus after the game back to the team hotel, and the guy's passing the ball around, and players are like picking strands of glue, like they're touching it and they're pulling their finger off, and it's like, you know, like as if like somebody slimed it, like Nickelodeon slime. And well, that clearly isn't rosin. The rosin bag, and maybe it's not sunscreen. I know that bullfrog sunscreen is like glue, and that's why a lot of guys like to use it. And they use it on their forearms, and then they can go to that and touch it, and it helps a little bit. But that doesn't do that. So there's something else that's the kind of stuff that has to be gotten out. I don't think you want to take the guy's grip away completely. Seeing too many guys get grilled. Rosin bag sits behind the mound. It's fair game. So there's got to be a line somewhere.
There's going to be hitters that are saying, wait a minute, you're going to tell me that these guys are throwing 98 to 100 with a slick baseball and have no grip? No thanks. Yeah. I mean, somebody get killed. And we've already had some really scary situations.
We're way too close already.
Yeah, with the Cardinals. And this goes across the board, Major League Baseball, too. Look at how many guys are getting hit this year. Look at the walks. So you have already an issue of max effort and a lack of control. Then you're going to add this into it. And I'm telling you, a lot of hitters are going to say, no thanks. Whatever they're doing, just let them do it, because I'm not about to lose my career over this. And I really believe that.
And I think it has been going on for a long time, too. I mean, Shilt was not the manager yet, but you remember when Brett Cecil threw that ball to Molina that stuck on his chest protector.
Exactly.
And it was like, it was a joke. It was laughed about. The league looked into it and found nothing. We were asked to believe it was some freak thing of physics. And Yachty didn't throw Cecil under the bus, but I mean, I don't know what you believe. It's hard for me to believe that if that was something that was just Yachty's chest protector, that we would have seen that before. He's been catching for a long time, Dan, and we've never seen that happen before. So to me, I think it was probably something on the ball. There's no proof of that. I have no proof, but the league looked into it and didn't care. Well, now they're going to have to do something. And I think the best thing you can do is say, these substances we're not going to mess with, but you know, other things we're cracking down on. And I think they're also going to tell guys, look, keep it off your hat, because every time that happens now, there's screenshots going viral. This guy is cheating. This is yada, yada, yada. You know, it can't be so obvious that it can be detected on a photo or video feed from the mound. And maybe that doesn't make it right, but I think just for the sake of not having to deal with the headache, they're going to start cracking down on that part of it too. Unfortunately for Gallegos, he becomes the first example. Clearly, if he thought it was that big of a deal, then he wouldn't wear the hat out
there. Right.
I mean, it's right there. It wasn't like he was trying to hide it. So, you know, I think that was a mistake on their part to choose that time and place to make it a big deal. That's something you handle between games, between innings. He goes out with a different hat. Nobody notices, and now everybody's talking about it.
We're visiting with Ben Fredrickson. We do this every Friday morning on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And by the way, want to make sure that people know that at Sunday at 10:30 on Channel 2, my guests will include Nick Ragone from the Ascension Charity Classic, and a long visit coming up with Tommy Edman, a fascinating player that's had a really good year for the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm curious, do you think Tommy could be an All-Star this year?
Well, I mean, he's basically, I think, tied for second, at least last time I checked, for hits among leadoff hitters. I know people want their leadoff guy to have a 300 average, but I think like two who are regularly hitting there this season do. He's up there among it. I think he has a chance for sure. He probably has a chance to be legitimately in the Gold Glove discussion. I know he's bouncing around now, though. The hardest part for him in any of those is going to be that he moves around a lot. More so than some of the other guys in terms of where he plays defensively, not so much in the lineup. But it's been a long time, Dan, since the Cardinals had a guy they could put at leadoff and feel good about and not mess with it. And I think about only half the teams in baseball have one of those guys.
Yeah.
Where they know who's hitting first every day. And I think that's a huge help to your team. So we'll see if he can get the All-Star nod. But I think he's certainly in discussion to be among the team MVPs for the Cardinals this season, because he's brought some steadiness to what has been a lineup that finally has the first four that you feel good about. It's what happens after that where folks get concerned, but he surprised me. I knew he's a solid player, but I underestimated Tommy Edman. I think a lot of other people probably did too.
I would agree. And he is the anti 2021 player.
You're right. He's old school, man.
He's entertaining.
Old guys love him.
He's entertaining.
All the former Cardinals, they're obsessed with him. And I get why. He can play everywhere. He's level headed. He doesn't get up and down. He's consistent. He knows his strengths and he uses them. And he's not easily pigeonholed. He adjusts. They have a hard time, they have a hard time defending against him because he can do a lot of different things. He's got some sneaky power. He is an old school player and an old soul too. I mean, he's got some wisdom beyond his years.
Absolutely. So set your DVRs. That's every Sunday at 10:30, and that'll be this weekend with Tommy Edman. Now, an older manager is Tony La Russa. And this past week we just saw, so from Tommy to Tony La Russa. By the way, Ben, he's got a really good team. They're going to win a lot of games in a division that isn't all that great. And at some point, somebody's going to have to give him some credit and say, well, maybe he did okay. I know he's got a lot of talent, but he did some things right along the way too. It was kind of fun seeing Tony La Russa on the other side in that dugout.
If this guy was more liked nationally, they'd be talking about him as manager of the year, Dan. And they might be by the time it's over, even the folks who don't want to see him get there. Tony is Tony, and he hasn't changed a lot of ways. And it just seems to me it's funny. It seems to me like a lot of people in Chicago were out to get him from the start. And I just see that in the way that he's covered. I see it in the way that his quotes are presented on social media. And I'm not, I'm not going to defend him to everything. There are times I don't agree with what he does. Clearly he made negative headlines for himself this offseason with his incident. But in terms of managing, the biggest blow up, that whole snafu about the home run on the 3-0 count, a lot of people ignored the fact that that was about him being upset a guy either missed or ignored a take call. What happened after that? Okay, he had got a good result from doing it. It doesn't change the fact that he did it. If you're a kid, if you're a boss or a parent, whatever position you are, where you're in front of people trying to produce a better product, whether on your team or in your business, and an employee or someone who's underneath you directly ignores what you tell them to do, most people have consequences for that, or at least they know their boss isn't happy. So it's like people thought Tony would say, well, he ignored my take call, but he hit a home run, so I'll just forget about it. Well, that's not Tony. But that part of the discussion was just lost. And it's like, well, he doesn't like home runs. He hates young players. None of these things are true. And he's not going to float his opinion on Twitter, see people who push back and then change his mind. And that's what makes him unique for this day and age, is he really doesn't care if people disagree with him or not. So I've got a hard time believing some of the things we read about the team, not liking him or decaying or falling apart is true. Because usually teams like that, you can see it in the standings. And the Cardinals just found out that the White Sox don't look like a team that's falling apart, Dan, and they're doing it without some of their best players. So, Lance Lynn's a good example. You don't have to be, cuddly with your manager to play well for him. And I don't think Tony has ever told his guys they have to love him all the time. I think over time, they a lot of the guys who played and won with him love him, but he's there to win, and they hired him to win in the postseason. So if telling a guy, look, you're not going to ignore my take calls without pushback from me in the middle of the season makes them a better postseason team, then that's how he's going to manage, and he's not going to apologize for it, and he shouldn't.
No. We also like to look ahead a lot of times, and the week that was. I'm going to stick with baseball, and then we'll go some other topics, but I think Monday's going to be a fascinating night too. Albert Pujols, Cardinals are in Los Angeles. I don't know. I just, anytime he faces the Cardinals, which has only been three games, it was a great three games. We're going to see him in St. Louis if he's still with the Dodgers in September. But that adds some intrigue on Monday night.
He'll hit at least one home run. I mean, you could bet bet the Scoops empire on it, Dan, because you know he's going to do something to make some magic, and it's just Albert, and he seems to be responding well to this chance he has in LA, and you know they're able to play him at first base, which makes a lot of sense for them. So I think the more you look at that, the more it's a perfect fit for him. He doesn't have to be this sideshow, you know, thing. He can just be a star on a team full of stars. And if he has some big moments, then it's a great story. And if he doesn't, then people kind of, you know, focus on Mookie Betts.
That's true. And that's the way it's gone with them.
It's not like he's bringing the team down. It's really a situation for him. Yeah, you can't lose Albert. You know he's going to – that's Albert. And he still can rise to the occasion like anybody.
How about Mizzou football? I know you follow this so closely. What's going on right now with some of the transfers with Eli Drinkwitz?
Yeah, I think the threat here – well, to me, the Jalen Knox thing is disappointing because I like the way they used him last year, Dan. They were able to get him in the slot. He was kind of part of the run game, which he hadn't been before, and I thought he could have helped them there. He bounces. There are some receivers coming in that I think maybe he looked around and thought, I don't know if I'm going to be playing as much as I hope. And right now, and we talk about this in college basketball, the grass has never been greener. It's never been easier to get to. The fence has never been lower to get to the greener grass. So I think the hardest thing in college football right now is to have a two deep. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of teams are going to have a starting group and a number three group. And everybody who was supposed to be on the two deep is gone because they're going to go try to start somewhere else. And that depth is going to be a hard thing because of that rule where guys can transfer for the first time in their college career and play immediately elsewhere. So you're going to see some guys pop up other places and what they hope will be bigger roles. Now, fair question, will they be bigger roles, or is that coaching staff just telling them what they want to hear to get them there, and then it's the same spot? Because here's the thing, if someone better than you is on the roster, they're going to play above you no matter what the coach is telling you during the re-recruitment process. And that's kind of what this rule has done, is really it gives a chance for guys to be recruited twice. Once as an incoming freshman and once as that first transfer. And you're going to see some guys, you know, also too, pop up where their old coach went. Mizzou's had, I think, three guys go to Arkansas where Barry Odom is the defensive coordinator. And that you kind of understand that. They signed to play for a guy. He recruited them. The relationship is there. You know, maybe bounce to a new school where you think you might have more opportunity. And I think that's going on a little bit too across college football. So nothing to freak out too much about. A little bit concerned about the depth, especially in Mizzou's secondary, because they've lost multiple players there, that defensive backfield that I think could have been different types of role players for that group.
Ben, also I'm going to wrap it up with this. As I mentioned on Channel 2, we're going to visit with Nick Ragone of the Ascension Charity Classic. At 50 years old, Phil Mickelson captures the PGA. And I hope so much that Phil Mickelson is a part of the Ascension Charity Classic in St. Louis. We're going to find out. He qualifies 50 and above. You get a chance to do it. In talking with Nick, it has exploded the interest in that tournament. That was one of the coolest things I've seen in so many years in sports, whether you're a golf fan or not. But that was awesome to see.
Can you imagine what St. Louis would do for Phil if he shows up? I mean, he'd have a ball and a half. So I would think that he'll have to have something pretty good on his schedule to miss that. And if he saw what happened, you know, and he did when Tiger was trying to win the PGA Championship here, then why wouldn't he want to come bask in that? It's been a great story for golf. I tell you this, there are some great young golfers in the game. I mean, we're seeing these guys hit the ball to the moon, and there's rivalries and there's beef and there's all kinds of social media snark being thrown around. It's great. I love it. But there's still nobody who moves the blood like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. So it's great for the game. And he just looks like he's having a blast, man. I wish that everybody could have as much fun as their job as he seems to. And I hope he bet on himself because, you know, he had some money on somebody in that thing. And hopefully he won more than just the championship.
I bet he did. He likes to have a little fun with that, as we all know. Sure. Hey, Ben, great to catch up. Have a great vacation down in New Orleans. And I'm sure I'll see you at the ballpark next week.
Sounds good, brother. See you then.
You got it. That's Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And as always, we're brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group.